You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You're tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. And I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We'd like to invite you out to our Sunday services. If you do not have a church home, if you are not going to church anyplace, if you're new to the area, haven't found a church, we would love to extend an invitation to you. We'd be honored if you chose to worship with you. It's always a joy to meet with people and discover what's going on in their life, and just a privilege to walk this journey of faith with other believers here in Brevard County. So 10:30 Sunday morning, 165 North Grove Street. We would love to invite you out to that service. We have been in John chapter 5 for quite a few programs now. I'm going to go back and read the entire passage that we have journeyed through today. And then I'm going to give a summary, whether it takes one program or two, just to give you a summary to indicate how much God knows about us, how well he knows us. He doesn't just know about us, he knows us. So if you will, I'm going to present this as evidence of his knowledge, but in many of these cases, it is an indictment against the people to whom he was speaking, and it should cause us to spend a little time reflecting and saying, how are we doing in that area? So I've made a list, and so let me read John 5, verse 16 through 47 here today. Says, for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, So he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So, in this passage, there are several statements about the spiritual condition of the people that Jesus reveals that he knows about them. You see, they thought they knew everything about Jesus, when in actuality, they didn't know that much about him at all. They also thought that Jesus experienced the same limitations as to what people do, and so they felt free to think incorrect things in their heart. They were making judgment of, you know, a Pharisee said, if this man knew what type of woman was touching him, he knew what was going on in their heart. He oftentimes knew the traps that they were setting for him. He knew everything that was going on in individuals' lives, as well as, you know, in a crowd as a whole. I believe he knew about the boy with the loaves and the fish before he ever told the disciples to go out and see what resources were there. He knew that there was going to be a fish that had enough coinage in its mouth to be able to pay the temple tax for Peter and Jesus himself. So Jesus let them know that the motivation for saying these things was that he was saying them that they might be saved. That's the motivation. So as I am sharing this summary, probably over the next two programs, of the things that Jesus reveals in John chapter 5 that he knew about them, I pray that it will be a time of self-reflection that will cause us to have a healthy and sound relationship spiritually with Jesus that will impact the way that we live life here on earth. So that's the goal. He starts off, and it says here in verse number 16 that they had sought to kill him. They were persecuting him, and they wanted to kill him. He was aware of that. The thing that they didn't understand was the motivation behind killing assumes that that particular person is in charge of another person's eternal timeline. In Jesus' case, that was not going to happen. He was a man here on a mission, and his mission was to give his life in a very specific manner at a very specific time, fulfilling very specific prophecies. And so we can look at that situation and say, you know, I want to be living for God. There was an old song, I believe it was by David Wills of the Imperials, that it said, I want to live my life so that when I get to heaven, it's no big change. In other words, I'm seeking to have a vibrant relationship with Jesus. I'm seeking to live with his presence in my heart, his word in my heart. I'm seeking to live for his purpose, his pleasure. I'm looking for the life of Jesus to thrive in my life. So one of the things that we can look at is, are there things in our life, areas which may not be pleasing and acceptable in God's sight, and they are looking to eliminate Jesus from our life? So I've told the story. I had a job when I was 15. It kept me out of church on Sunday. I was not making a lot of money. I think I got paid every 2 weeks. 2 weeks is all that I did the job. And I was making less than $2 an hour. I could only work 5 hours a day. So I was working at most 20 hours a week. So I by the time you took out payroll taxes and all of that, it was only $25 or $30, which, you know, as a 15-year-old is not bad, but it wasn't enough to keep me out of church. I realized that for me, being in church was more important than that finance. I look back in the rearview mirror of my life, and I see some milestone events that were very pivotal for me, because if I had chosen the other way, the other action, it would have had a devastating impact on my spiritual development. So he knew that they were trying to kill him. He also knows for believers, when we are seeking to please him and thrive in our relationship with him. It also says here that Jesus knew that they were willing to listen and rejoice in John for a season. And so let me see if I can find that for just a moment. I thought I had it. Didn't show up there. But goodness gracious. Oh, verse number 35, he was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. So he knows when people are making an effort to investigate the realm of eternal life. And I will say this, there's a lot of different people that I know, and a lot of those people all have different favorite preachers. I think I mentioned when we were going through this that a lot of times society is willing to listen to someone until they come out and make a stance that is unpopular with the crowd that they are ministering to. That's why you and I cannot base our self-esteem upon the reactions of other people, because their emotions, their approval, their disapproval, their rejoicing or their hostility can flip on a dime. It can reverse course in a very short period of time. One of the things that I tell people in my church is, when you are investigating a relationship with an individual, and you're contemplating, if you're a guy, you're contemplating marrying a lady. If you're a lady, you're contemplating marrying a guy. You need to look at that situation and you need to evaluate, is this relationship, is it an intersection or is it a merger? And the reason that I say that is because if two cars are at the same intersection at the same point in time, they're going to be together, but it's only going to be for a fleeting moment. But when two roads who have come from two different paths and now they're going the same direction, then those roads are now one road carrying two different designations, but they're on the same journey. And many people fail to consider that the most important part of that journey is the spiritual journey, that we are supposed to be joined together with people of like faith. When you have the same heart, you have to listen. Relationships are hard. Marriage is hard. They are much harder without Jesus. And so make sure that the things that we are doing spiritually, that they are not just seasonal, but they're permanent. Jesus said, I know that you listened to John. You were willing to listen to him for a season, but you weren't willing to listen to him forever. The implication was not that John had changed, but that they had changed. Jesus also knows what's going to happen. He knows the future. He talked about the everlasting life and the coming judgment, the judgment of the righteous and the judgment of the evil, the judgment of the good, the outcome of those judgments. He knows what is going to happen. Many people only want to ask about the will of God when it comes to the things that are going to happen in the future. My belief is that if we will embrace the general will of God, which we find in his word, and we will live that will, we will learn to hear his voice, and in the process of our journey of faith with Jesus, we will learn to understand and perceive the specific will of God. This is the way, walk ye in it. He knows the difference between those who are living good lives and those who are living lives that are morally compromised and are evil and harmful and painful. Okay. When you understand that God is looking to give us the greatest quality of life that we can experience to minimize our pain, heartache, and ruin in a fallen and evil world, we will embrace the good. We will reject the evil. The devil does not have your best interest in mind, but God does. Jesus goes on and he says that he knew that they had not seen God. They had not seen his form. And they had not heard his voice. In other words, the most important relationship that a person could ever have, they were not prioritizing that relationship. If you have a relationship with someone, you want to spend time with them. You want to see them. If you're going to have a relationship with someone, you want to communicate with them. You want to talk to them. You want to find out. Our words come out of the abundance of our heart. And so spending time with someone and hearing the words that they speak give us a picture into their heart. And Jesus said, look, you don't listen to God. In the Old Testament, the Bible talked about that there would be a famine of hearing the Word of God. Not that there would be a famine of the Word of God, but a famine of listening to it. And Jesus said, I know you haven't heard his voice. I know that you haven't seen his form. Those actions indicate that this relationship, you may be giving lip service to it, but you are not making it the priority that God would want. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Many times we are our own worst enemy because we do not pursue the things that God has disclosed that would result in our having a vibrant and enjoyable life. He said, I know that God's word is not abiding in you. That's in verse number 38. But you do not have his word abiding in you. Now, these people would have said, we do have God's, we have memorized God's word. We study God's word. But again, it is a word that may be tucked away in their head, but it had not made its way to their heart. So you and I, we need to make sure that that is something that is very, very important that is taking place in our life. I want to share with you, let me see if I can find it real quick here. I'm getting close. It talks about, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And I'm just looking for it here on the proper part of the page. But a lot of people quote that verse, but they don't quote the entire context. And the context is, it's in John 15, I believe, is where I'm looking for it, that his word should abide in us and that we should abide in him. And then we would know the truth, and the truth would make us free. That is something many people don't think. It's not just knowing the truth. It's about the Word of God abiding in us. And that is what helps to bring about the liberty that God wants for us to have. We need God's Word abiding in us. Not just to have an occasional visit, not just to have an occasional interaction, but his word actually abiding in our heart. Jesus also said, you didn't believe God's messengers. He sent prophets over and over and over again, and some of them they would listen to, some of them they would persecute, some of them they would intimidate. There were prophets that spoke, and they said, look, I have not given you permission to speak. And that was the king's statement to them. The king was assuming his authority was greater than God's authority, where God does give did give those prophets a message to communicate, and if they had not delivered it, they would have been in violation. Whenever the message is delivered, then the people it's been delivered to have a decision to make. Do I believe the message, or do I not believe the message? There was a there's a passage in the Old Testament that says, I've positioned watchmen on the wall, and if a watchman sees an enemy coming and he doesn't warn the inhabitants of the city, then their blood will be on that watchman's head. He said, but if the watchman is doing his job, sees the enemy coming, warns the inhabitants of the city, and the inhabitants of the city do not prepare, do not respond to the message, then their blood will be upon their own head. In other words, we have a responsibility to deliver the message. Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. There is no other name under heaven given whereby men must be saved but by the name of Jesus. That is the responsibility that we are given. That is the message. It is not bad news. It is good news. It is not delivered in arrogance. It is delivered out of compassion, that people then have to make a decision. Do I want to respond, or do I not want to respond? I find the interesting thing about Jonah. Jonah had a message he didn't want to deliver. He actually ran from delivering that message. But he gets to Nineveh, a very ungodly, very violent society, preaches a message, and the entire town, the entire city, 120,000 people, repented, changed their heart. It wasn't just, I'm sorry. It was, I repent. They put on sackcloth and ashes. They even clothed their cows with the articles of repentance. And God's attention focused on their response to the message. Jonah was up there hoping they wouldn't respond. God was sitting on the throne and saying, have you seen the way they repented? Did you know that one of the most wicked kings that Israel ever had was a guy by the name of Ahab? Elijah confronted him after he had coveted Naboth's vineyard. Jezebel had Naboth killed, and Elijah met him, confronted him, and then God said, have you noticed how Ahab has repented? Unfortunately, Ahab repented of his repentance and went back to his old ways. But I will tell you today, if we've got God's word abiding in us, if we believe his messengers, God knows that we are responding the way that he wants us to. Believe God's word. You have a great day, great weekend. We'll see you Monday back here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Since I found it here.